So time permitting, we'll try to get to both Yutet and Chaf. Okay, so now, after doing a lot of prakim about the reward of Torah, both in this world, and then we saw even at the end of in last week's parak a lot in the next world, today he turns a slightly different perspective. Says Nefesh HaChaim, B'shem Hashem Nikra Alav, Ki HaTorah Kula Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is going to be the theme of this parak, that, and he's going to bring, as we have seen time and time again, he has unbelievable, incomparable bekiyas. He's going to bring numerous sources from Chazal and from Zohar, all about the fact that Torah is referred to as either being God's name or comprised of God's name. It's Shem Hashem Nikra Alav, right? So we, trying to, you know, lazily and colloquially, we just say, Shem Hashem, just Hashem. But that's not what it says. It says Shem Hashem. It's the name of God. Kol HaTorah Kula is really made up of the names of Hashem. Where do you see this from? That sounds such an esoteric, crazy idea. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara Bracha stuff. Alef and Aleph. Now, it doesn't really say it, but it's a pretty good diuk. After all, the Gemara says in the famous Sugya about looking for a source for Brachos HaTorah, the idea that when you make the Brachos each morning, Asher Kedashanu Mitzvot V'Tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah Asher B'char Banu, etc. So says the Gemara. Second line here. Minayin LeBrachos HaTorah LeFaneha Min HaTorah. How do we know that the Brachos you make before you learn each day are Midaraisa Shenemar? The pasuk in Parshat Hazinu Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havugod Lalukeinu. So every time I learn that Gemara, every time I teach that Gemara, every time I translate the Gemara, I say, Moshe tells the Jewish people, when I'm about to call out and teach you Torah, you should bless. Now that is clearly the context of the Gemara. But it says, but it's actually not what the Gemara says. It's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk is clearly referring to Torah. But it calls Torah Shem Hashem. Right? So it's like hiding in plain sight. It's right there. Now, it could be, I didn't look at, you know, I don't know, Ibn Ezra and Rashbam. It could be, if you look in Hazinu, in Pshat, maybe they don't say it's referring to Torah. I'm just not sure. I'm not saying the... Okay, or we don't have to ask Ibn Ezra, because we have our modern-day Ibn Ezra right here. Mr. Nowick, yes. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I didn't know, but you're probably right. But at minimum, what Rechaim Velazher's point is, from Torah Shabbat's perspective, clearly he's talking about Torah, and yet it calls it Shem Hashem. That's an amazing insight, even though it's not so profound. It's profound, even though it doesn't take that much other than noticing what's in front of you. As the Pasuk says, in Shmos Perkov, B'chol ha-makom asher aski et Shmi. Whenever I mention my name, and again, that's referring to Torah, you should make a bracha. And it's not only a Gemara, and it's not only Psukim, it's a Zohar. Where would we be without the Zohar? A much shorter Shardal, that's for sure. So says the Zohar, in Bamidbar, how beloved is the Torah before Hashem? Because, says the Zohar, any place in which Divrei Torah is being heard, Hashem and all of his tzvaot, etc., they're all listening. Keep on going. We didn't get to the main point yet. And Hashem comes, so to speak, to kind of join the chavrusa, to join the chabura. And all the, you know, whatever that means, Hashem's kind of, you know, Hashem's posse, I guess you might say in slang, right? The angels, I think in fancy English they say, the heavenly retinue. What's a retinue? A posse. No, I don't, the guys, the boys, the gang, the chevra. Maybe that's better than the posse. Anyway, kulam makshivin ledvarav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba ledur imo, Hashem comes. And what is the basis of this? Again, so this is like this incredibly fantastical, amazing, very vivid, powerful image of, you know, you learning, we're having chabura, so we think right now there's five of us sitting here, and really there's a sixth, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to join, and actually it's a much group, bigger group, because Hashem came with his boys. So they're all there, right? The chavra's here. And yet, what's the pasuk that teaches us this, says this are? The same pasuk. Whenever you have Hashem's name mentioned, i.e. that's a stand-in for Torah, again. Furthermore, the Zohar says, in Parshas Mishpatim, kol man, the yintar, arche da'araisa, anyone who's going after the words of Torah, meaning that I think means following halacha, the ishtadel ba, which I think means to learn Torah, kimand ishtadel bishma kadisha. Okay, this is more explicit and more direct. Anyone who's learning Torah, it's as, you know, he's working, he's, in Yiddish you say harving, he's working, he's schwitzing, he's trying to figure out Torah, that is as if, says the Zohar, the person is being osek, involved with the name of Hashem. The Taninan, as we learn, Araisa Kula Shma Dekuch Brichu, as we just saw from the Gemara Brachos, all of Torah is Hashem's name. Man mishtadel ba, command the mishtadel ba kadisha. If you're trying to work through Torah, you're really working through Hashem's name. Begin to arise kula shema the kajihi. It's all the same thing. And the powerful corollary, man the gara es chadmina, if you take away even one letter of the Torah, kil ovid pigimusa bishma kadisha. Right? So it's, you know, I think it's already visceral and resonant to any of us that like it would be a bad thing to take a word out of the Torah, take a letter out of the Torah.
This is the issue of having to go to Savior with that. Like,
listen, right? But he's making it's so much more powerful and emotional and visceral when I tell you that if you've taken something out of the Torah, you've actually warped or somehow distorted, I guess is a better word, Hashem's name, right? Now, I think all of this, again, we're going to see even a few more sources before we're done, but all of this is really begging the question which has to be on all of our minds, why is this important, right? What is the significance about the name, right? Clearly, the new dimension, the chiddush of this paragraph, this chapter, which again is, kind of Lajner would say, you know, don't shoot the messenger, it's not my chiddush, I'm a collector. I'm showing you Makoros that exists already way before me. This idea that Torah is comprised of Hashem's name. So if we want to understand what this means, obviously we really have to understand what it means to have a name or for Hashem to have a name. So let's hold that thought for a second. Let's see if we get through a few more sources. Uparshas Vayikra, right? That's another Zohar. Kol Zos Ba'asanu Lo Shechachnucha. So, right? That's I'm not sure where that's a pasuk. Is that a pasuk in Vayikra? I'm not sure where's that pasuk. Kol Zos Ba'asanu, right? Anything we come, you know, we're coming towards, higiyei eleinu, so to speak, lo shachnu, we're not going to forget. So what does that mean? V'lo ashinan milulei araisa. We're not, so to speak, I think, forgetting the words of Torah. Mikan ulifna, from here we learn. Kalman de inshe milulei araisa. Anyone, people are talking in Torah. V'lo boi lemai lebei, who could have been talking in Torah and who isn't. Kilu inshe l'kut shabrichu, toha araisa kulishma kadisha. So that is if a person is free. If you basically, I kind of butchered that and I apologize, but basically the idea again is, once again, if you forget any part of Torah, it's as if you've forgotten the name of Hashem. So you can distort Hashem's name, you can forget Hashem's name, or of course if you're learning Torah, you can be osek in Hashem's name. And yet another, we won't do this whole thing, but yet another time, here he says, daf yotes, ta'araisa man d'shtadal ba mit'ater bi'iturei d'shma kadisha. And this is a very recurring theme, right? We've seen this in numerous Zohars before in earlier chapters, that when you learn Torah, Hashem crowns you with all sorts of things. See, here the Zohar says, you're mit'ater ba'iturei d'shma kadisha. What's the crown that you get if you're a Torah scholar, you're a Torah learner? The shame, Hashem. I'm skipping down here. I don't know if you have the handout. I'm not sure how far you go down, but the paragraph was Lachain. Gam izeh atam amru. It's for the same idea. The kuchabricho v'araisa kihu ushmei chadu. It's all one thing, right? And now that's a paraphrase of the actual quote from the Zohar in Yisro. Araisa kula shma chad have. Right, the Torah is all one name of Hashem, Shema Kadisha Dekucha Brichu Mamish. And you know when we love when he pulls out the Mamish. Right, that's a very important point of emphasis. And that's in the Zohar. Zaka Chulukei Demand Zagibe, Mand Zagibe Raisa, Zaghi Bishmeda Kadisha Brichu. And if you're Zochet to have a Chelik in Torah, it means you have a Chelik in Hashem's name. Yosi Omer Bekucha Brichu, who Mamish Zaghi, Hu Ushma Chadhu. And I think this is the answer to the question that we should have been asking the whole chapter. Right? What is the significance in the Gemara, already in Psukim maybe, in Zohar, and now and we'll see in a minute in Medrash. What is this emphasis of Hashem's name? The Torah is comprised of Hashem's name, and therefore if you're studying Torah, you're in Hashem, you have Hashem's name, you're crowned with Hashem's name, or Chas Hashem, you could be distorting Hashem's name, you could be omitting or forgetting Hashem's name. What's this idea of the name and the name? And the answer you see here in this particular Zohar is, the name is the essence. Right, the name is the essence of someone or something. Now, even I think on a human level, we can understand this in a very, very meaningful way. If you know, you really have sometimes, you know, people's name really is ma'afyein them. Right, it really gets to their essence. But I would say, even without that, you know, once a person has a personality and they've, you know, lived a certain amount of life, right, you don't think of yourself as separate than your name. Right? If I asked you to think about yourself. You're thinking about Eli, you're thinking about Binyamin, you're thinking about David, that's what you're thinking about. You can't separate, at some point, I don't know how early this is, maybe some psychologist or child development specialist will tell us, but I can't think of myself as separate than David. I think it's a game. If I'm just pretending, if I am, whatever I think of myself, I'm thinking of David. Your name. So if all of a sudden someone stopped calling me my name, this is why, by the way, in halacha, this is actually a chapter in one of Rabbi Feldman's Svarim, all about nicknames. Right? There's actually some very strong gemaras by not calling people nicknames, and it's a machlokas. The pashtus is it means a not nice nickname. Hey, fatty, you know, something like that. But some of Farshim say no, he might even be complimentary nicknames, which is very big chiddush. But that would really accentuate this point.
You're distorting who they are.
Exactly, that's the point. And every translation is an interpretation. Every nickname is also an interpretation. You're giving a taicha on who that person is, right? And it's pretty much impossible. There's nothing that can be actually me. It could be close. It could be a nice nickname, but it's not me. It's already a little bit of a distortion. Let alone chas v'shalom if it's a mean or a ridiculing.
How are you teaching people?
Because we're allowed to do it. But I wouldn't say this. I would say it begs the question. But the fact that you are allowed to do it shows that what you're really doing there is it's begging the question. So why do we change people's names? Tell me, like when someone's sick, right? So we change, and that's why, because we change their essence, and the hope is that they're going to get a different gzar din. Again, it's hard to know. Yeah, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because it's not that it's not important. It's just so profound and so complicated. We will definitely not get back to Nefesh HaChayim today. But understanding why that should help, you know, which I don't think is an easy question to answer at all, but it really becomes part of an even larger, more complicated question, which is how does tefillah work at all, right? So if the question about davening, certainly of bakasha, is, you know, the ultimate maman of shach, right? If Hashem wanted you to fill in the blank, he would have given it to you, and if he doesn't, why are you asking for it? Oh, I didn't think about that. Thank you for telling me, says God. Right? That can't be. So what are we doing? How do we think that it's work? Right? That's everyone asks that question who's thoughtful about davening. And the Kabbalists give different answers than their answers. I'm not saying any of the answers are easy to understand or really satisfying, but there are answers to the question. But that's the question. So how does changing a name, you know, so on some, you know, it seems a little bit of a gimmicky. And the answer, I guess, I'm not a bucky in this sugya. My guess would be if all you did was change the name, I have a hard time, certainly as a rationalist, believing that it works. Could be that if I was more of a Kabbalist, I would believe that. But as a rationalist, the only way I can make sense of it is if I assume that the name is intended to hopefully be a very dramatic trigger. Here I mean trigger in the best sense of the word. A trigger to tshuva on the part of the chola, him or herself. Now, I'm piggybacking on what some Farshim say, and I think this is kind of the most common rationalist approach to tefillah. How does tefillah work b'chlal? And the answer is because Hashem made a gzar din about Ploni, but you know, I'm not Ploni anymore because I'm Ploni plus because I did tshuva. But that's not my answer. That's a classical answer to tefillah. So I would think, to me, the only way I could understand the changing of the name thing is that it works, you know, it would work as part of that. So the fact that you can do it, I don't think the shaila is that you can do it, although yes, it's true, given how significant it is, we don't look at it lightly. But the real question is, what does it mean? And I think that would be the answer. And it all connects back into our topic, which is that if that's true about on a human, we spent the last 5 minutes talking about the human level, but just as an analogy. But I think it helps us understand what these Midrashim and this Zohar is telling us about Hashem's name. What does that mean that Torah is Hashem's name? Just like a name really defines who you are, the Torah defines who Hashem is. I think it's you know, once you put two and two together, it's very profound. Okay, let's look at the next paragraph. The Tana de Belio, the Medrash says, "Kol mis osa meriva al hatam and chacham kil osa meriva al mish amar v'hayah haolam." Shenamar hu dasan v'aviram the hatzosam al Hashem. So if you fight with the Tamar Chacham, it's as if you're fighting with Hashem. L'chein kasher adam ba b'shem Hashem akal yireim u'mizdazim mimenu k'mashkasev in devarim v'ru kol ame aretz ki shem Hashem. Nikra Alecha v'yiru mimecha. Right? So when we're in a good place and the Jewish army goes out to fight and it's in a good spiritual place, we say the Goyim are going to run and they're going to flee from us. Because shame Hashem. Again, the idea that we embody the Torah and we're on a very high level is symbolized here by a pasuk yet again as shame Hashem. Whereas the pasuk in Tehillim, ki bi chashak va'afal tehu asagveo ki yada shimi. Again, Hashem's going to do all these things for us. And we're going to be very powerful and imposing on other people. Because we know Hashem's name, Ki bi chashak bo yisparach mamash kav yachol. Right? There's a certain yearning mamish to get close to the essence of Hashem. and the closest, just like a name, so to speak, is, you know, is really the, is the closest thing you can get to as the essence of the person. So that's what the Torah is to Hashem. Anything added in these others? You have another Zohar. Yeah, let's do a little. The Zohar again. It's just another way of saying the same thing, but a little bit of a different reference and image. It says the Zohar. How much does Hashem love people who learn Torah? Even when it's a scary time, right? There's this notion, again, of, I would say, you know, unindividualized punishment, right? The Idan Ritcha, right? Hashem's in a bad mood. Again, like we totally get this, right? I assume, you all have wonderful parents, but I assume that you can point to times in your life where, like, you did something no different, or you spoke no differently than you did 100 other times, but that time your dad or your mom got angry. And at some point, you are old enough to realize what happened. And other times, depending on your parents' personality, at some point they might even have said, oh, you know, I'm so sorry, I lost my temper, but. And the but, whether they said it or not, was, they're in a bad mood. So once they're in a bad mood, they're like, you just want to get out of the way. Nothing good's going to happen, you know, tonight. We're going to stay away. So, Kavayachal and Lahavdil, we have this idea about Hashem. So if Hashem's in a bad mood and there's din, he's just mowing down everyone in front of him, even then, when sometimes good people get caught up in, you know, the storm, says the Zohar, nevertheless, Hashem, if you're with Torah, you're going to be okay. If you have Rishus, even when Hashem is giving the Rishus to the Mechablim, right, the Sasatan, the Malach HaMaves, whatever, to do his thing, but Hashem will protect you, or you, and hopefully me, who are learning Torah. Okay, fine. That's basically the idea here. So again, on the one hand, especially the way the chapter ends similar to what we had seen in previous Prakim, of the reward and the power and the potency of learning Torah. But the new chiddush of this chapter is the connection to the idea of the name, which again, when I speak for myself, maybe for others as well, but I speak for myself, which I don't know if I ever, you know, without the Nefesh HaChaim pointing it out to me, I probably didn't notice all these Makoros. Now, I didn't know all the Zohars without the Nefesh HaChaim, but the Psukim and the Gemaras I knew. It's not like esoteric. It's not like some hidden Gemara in the back of Elor or something. These are pretty well-known Gemaras, and the Psukim for sure. And yet, we just are so used to translating things, you know, colloquially as Hashem or Torah, we forget that all these Makorot speak specifically about the shame Hashem. And I think it's clear that what's going on here is something very powerful. And that is when we appreciate what the name means to a person, so that's what the Torah means to Hashem. Okay, let's see if we can get through. We have 10 minutes left. I think we can hopefully get through. Parachaf. Says Ruchayim Vlozhner. Hu habein yakir. Mibnei palterin demalka. Mibnei hechala demalka. Asher lo levado arshus nesunu b'choleis l'chapes begins in demalka dekucha. B'chol asharim elyonim p'tuchim lefanav. Presumably, he didn't say it yet. Presumably, he saw about someone who's learning Torah. That person is so beloved to Hashem that he is, you know, like one of the members of the palace. He's part of the king's family or the king's inner circle, and he is part of the heichal of the melech, right? You know, the secret service and the Praetorian guard, and only he has permission to go in all sorts of private places of the king, et cetera, and there's no place in the palace and the White House that he can't go, as we say in the Gemara in Sota. Now that's an added point, right? Someone who's steiging and learning Torah, even though it's hard, and the hard could be because it's hard intellectually, it could be it's hard because he's distracted because something Chas HaShalom was wrong at home, it could be hard because Rachman Alatlan's he or someone else is sick. There are a lot of reasons why it could be Bedochak, but if someone's doing that, there's also a different incredible reward. And one of the opinions is, Rav Racha Bar Chanina says, Afshein HaPargod Noah Lefanav, right? Again, Pargod, which is, you know, from the Mishkan or Mikdash, this kind of separation, if you will, so metaphorically or metaphysically, there's some kind of pargod up above that could separate a person from Hashem, and even people who could get very close, but there could still be a pargod, you know, separating you from Kodesh Kodashim. But a person who's connected to Torah, even that will not separate him. And as a result, Nichnas Bashari Torah HaKadusha, Lahasig Lahasta Ustakel Bor Apnimi, person who goes into the inner sanctum, who can see the inner light. MK Rosin Ilah, and you can see the supernal secrets of Hashem. As it says, Umagalan Le Rose Torah. Right? Hashem will reveal to him the secrets of the Torah. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Lo od el shedvar hamachusin mibnei adam miskalan lo. Certain things that are hidden from all sorts of other people will be revealed to someone who learns Torah. And the Medrash in Tehillim, Al Shmuel Shamar Makir Ani Chutzos Harakia. Shmuel says, I am familiar with the streets, the highways, the alleyways up on in Shemayim. I know I am a walking human talking ways of up in Shemayim. Shmuel said, or that's in the Medrash in the Gemara is Shvilin Derakia. So ask the Gemara, ask the Medrash, Chishmuel Ola Lerakia. When he said this, he was living down on earth. El Aide Shiyaga Bachmasa Shaltaira Laman Mitocha Shesh Bashkakim. No. Hashem so to speak, again, obviously this is metaphoric. What does that mean to say that there are Shvilim up in Shemayim? Right? The answer is, if I want to get, to my house, and you're coming for Shabbos, I'm telling you, you're gonna go here at the traffic circle, make a left, go up to the next corner, make a right, right? It's the way to get to a certain desired destination. Right, so if the destination is to be close to Hashem, is to know Hashem, so the Shvil and the Rakia mean the ways to get there. So says Shmuel, it's metaphoric, but it's a very, very vivid and resonant metaphor once you understand what it's trying to say. That by learning Torah, you become exposed to, you become acquainted with the Shvil and the Rakia. You know how to get to the destination, right? Lots of people want to get there, but if you don't have a map, or you don't have ways, or you've never been there before, and you're not familiar, right? When you're in a place that's unfamiliar, it's very, very hard. Right, the first time trying to get somewhere, but if you've already, been there, I remember this. I was here once before. It's familiar. I remember this. There was a broken, over there. So that's what Torah can give a person in terms of its relationship, a person's relationship to Hashem, being familiar with all these things that are way above. Mishlei Rabasa, the Medrash in Mishlei, says the pasuk says there, Miftach Sifsei Meisharim. Opens with righteous words. So the Medrash says that's an allusion to the fact that the Torah is like a key. Right? It'll open up all sorts of doors that you wouldn't be able to get into otherwise. What's the key? What's the secret code? What's the secret knock? The answer is the Torah and knowing the specific things of the Torah. Tanit be'Eliyahu Baruch Hamakom Shebachar B'Divrei Chachamim U'Metimeidehem Shem Shem Yoshev Beis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash. People who are learning whenever they can and they're doing it for the right reasons. Shem Shemaim, Yira Bilavavam. They have Yira Shemaim, Machzikim Devei Torah PM, and they study Torah. They speak in Torah. Kamokan Akash Baruch Hu Yosef Kenegdam. Akash Baruch Hu will be there with him. Magal Ham Sodas HaTorah Befiem Uvilvam. Ruach Kacho Yisbarach Yishkon Levetach Alav Tamin. A person will always have a Shem with, right? It's a little bit of a catch 22. I'm aware, but so many people in yeshiva for sure. Or this time of your life, but even other times in your life, people will say, I just want to feel Hashem's presence. Right? I feel distant from Hashem, and I know the rituals, and I was brought up this way, and I put on the tefillin every day, or what's the second way? I wrap tefillin. Right? Someone who doesn't do it that much says wrap. Right? When you're an insider, you don't usually say I wrap tefillin. But I've heard that phrase before, and it's usually people who are less familiar with it, let's just say. But okay, that's fine. But I do all these things, and I go to shul, and I keep the mitzvos, but it's just empty, and I don't feel, and some people, just say that as an excuse, and some people are amanas lekanter, but some people, it's incredibly genuine. Like, they're really doing all the things that they know they're supposed to do, they don't do the things they're not supposed to do, but they don't feel any imminence, right? That's the big philosophical term, right? Is God distant, or is he imminent? Right? Is Hashem very far, or is he Karov Hashem? Right? So, if David HaMelech can say it, it's a legitimate goal. We want to be Karov Hashem. We want to be close to Hashem, right? And you could say Ashrei three times a day, and you say, "Well, he ain't. I'm being karav l'Hashem l'chol karav. I'm calling to him, and he doesn't feel, close to me." Now, the answer might be at the end of the puzzle. It says Asher yikru be'emes. The question is, what does that mean? Just because you're calling him doesn't mean you're doing it with authenticity and genuineness and sincerity. Are you sure it's yikru be'emes? But either way, maybe you are, and you still don't feel it. So, the answer, at least according to this source, is. The only way to feel Hashem close to you is Torah. I might say the only way, but this is the proof, the tried true way. That's all these things that Hashem is Yoshev with you, Hashem is Machzik you, Hashem is hovering. They're all ways of saying that by learning Torah you get to be close to Hashem. You get to feel Hashem. It's not a spatial thing, obviously, because there's no body and there's no, right? And Hashem could be right here and you can still feel totally alone. Right? If you're in a room that's crowded with people, you don't know any of them, you're not alone, but you're totally lonely. That's not my insight, that's the Rav's insight. and Lonely Man of Faith, right? If you read the beginning, right? It's very profound, right? So it's true. Marabu Masecha, Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. But if I don't know Hashem, he might as well be on the moon, because he's that close to me. But by learning Torah, by learning his name, by getting to know him, so again, he didn't all of a sudden come close to me in the sense that he wasn't there before, that I didn't see him, I didn't know him, right? It's like one of those like sci-fi movies where like, you know, that one character can see all the ghosts and no one else can see, right? I'm not into sci-fi at all, but like that's actually a very powerful metaphor. So Hashem is there, just not everyone can see him. Just like the Zohar says that, this is, I don't know if you've heard the Zohar, the Sfasemis quotes it, that Lech Lecha was said to the whole world. That's like a mind-bending Sfasemis. Not what they taught you in third grade. Exactly, that's what the, that's exactly what the Zohar says. It was basically a casting call. Okay, so it's not from Rav, I mean, it's good that Rav Amital quoted it. I quote it too. How come Eli didn't say, Rav Amital quotes that a lot? I'm just joking, obviously. But yes, but I assume that Rav Amital got it from the Sfasemis, who quotes it from the Chiddush Arim, his grandfather. But, it, you know, in the Zohar. That it was a casting call. Hashem called out to everybody. The Galus of Avram was that he heard. So Hashem is there. Hashem is talking. Whether you hear him or not. So what? So you say, but I want to. I really want to. So I'm not saying there's no other way. I don't know. But if you ask Rav Chaim Voloshiner, what's the way? Or at least, what's the best way? Say, learn Torah. Now you say, but, you know, yeah, but it's catch 22. I don't want to learn because I don't feel anything. The only way to feel is to learn. It's a little bit of a catch 22, but sometimes you've got to just take the jump. Let's see if we can do one more thing before we finish. Tani Be'eliyahu, Kevin Chikara Adam Tarin Avim Uksuvim, Shana Mishnah Medrash Halachos. So we got Tanakh, we got Halacha, everything is good. Agadata, Gemara, Pilpul Lishma, Miyad Ruach HaKodesh Shor Elav. Again, I would add, you know, with all the respect, you know, not everyone feels it Miyad. I bet Talmidim, you know, sitting across from me like you are now, saying, you know, I try, I learn, I'm coming, and I'm just not feeling it. That's a very, very sad and sometimes scary place to be. Because if you're not learning, so if you're being honest, that's why you don't feel anything. When you, if you really feel like you are learning, you're still not feeling it, that's a hard place. And you know, there could be certain techniques, but some of it is just patience and having a certain level of emuna from the sense of trust. You know, which is that if I give myself over more, if I'm willing to jump, even though I haven't yet felt the response, it will come. Ritz Hashem. Okay. So this is our last one for the Zman, right? Okay, everyone can be back after Pesach? Okay, then we will continue with Perek Chaf Aleph at the time. Have a good Ben Zman. Yes, you too. Zay Gazon. Nice to meet you.
Thanks.
Flock with everything. Thanks.